9th of November 1906, a little saint, a little doctor, died in a tumble in Dijon, France. In attempt to anticipate the judgment of the Church, and yet we are forced by the beauty of her doctrine, and also the testimonies of so many who benefited from her doctrine, for example, and maybe from her secret, real, supernatural influence. She is very much alive in heaven and therefore close to us, to those who invoke her, who pray to her, she is suddenly very close to them. A little doctor, her doctrine, she said, was not hers. She repeated the word of our Lord, "My doctrine is not mine." Our Lord revealed the doctrine that he heard in the bosom of God. And she herself simply repeated the doctrine of the Gospel. In particular, the indwelling of the Trinity in us. We are the temples of God. God wants to dwell in us. It was the word of our Lord to Zacchaeus, to the Gospel of today. I must abide in your home today. Our Lord wants to abide in us. He wants us to remain in him. He wants to dwell in us. The last audible word of Blessed Elizabeth was, "I am going to life and to love." And she started by life, because this is what heaven is about. It is the vision of God, being able to see God. But it's not to start to have God. Heaven is not the beginning of the possession of God, as if we didn't have God today on earth. Indeed, since our baptism, we are already in heaven, except the vision. We do not have the light, we do not see what we possess, and yet we already possess God himself. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost already dwell in us. To speak of this union to God, of this marvelous exchange between God and souls, God gave to the Church, and firstly to Mount Carmel, two great doctors. And they are St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila. But they are so great that many people are afraid, even afraid, to read them. Their doctrine is so lofty, so beautiful, that it is a bit daunting to read them. God in his wisdom and in his goodness gave us, therefore, two other doctors, little doctors that we can understand easily. Nobody is going to be afraid of reading them. And everybody is going to understand what they say. And these little doctors are, of course, firstly, Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, who precisely told us that there is nothing daunting in what Saint John of the Cross and Saint Teresa of Avila said. We should not be afraid of God. We should not be afraid of being close to God. We should not be afraid of the work of God in our souls. It is certainly great and mysterious, but it is through confidence in God that we are going to reach love. Confidence and confidence alone will lead us to the fullness of this divine life that we have received on the day of our baptism. And therefore, our only duty it is to offer to God little sacrifices, not to offer great things, but to be constantly aware of the presence of God and have the desire to please Him, to do everything for His love. And the second daughter is certainly Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity. She had read St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, who died 4 years before she entered Carmel, and she had assimilated this teaching. But she gives to this same teaching another life. She's more interior. She focuses on the presence of God in us. This life of God is not far, but it is in the depth of our souls. God dwells in us. We are the temples of God. And in this teaching, there is nothing extraordinary. At the end of her life, she would call herself Laudem Gloriae, praise of glory. But this is our vocation. All of us, we have been called to praise God. It is the very purpose of our existence. We have been created by God in order to praise Him, to be Laudem Gloriae, praises of His glory, to glorify Him, to be able to know Him and to love Him as He knows and loves Himself. This is our vocation. And she doesn't refer to any particular mystical experience, or at least there is no need to have these particular mystical experiences in order to understand what she says. It's a question of faith. It's a dogma of our faith. Any Catholic must believe that if he is in the state of grace, he is the temple of God. That the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost dwell in him. It's a dogma of our faith. We cannot be Catholic and not believe this doctrine. This is the gospel. We are consecrated. We were consecrated on the day of our baptism. We became the temples of God. I have found my heaven on earth, since heaven is God, and God is in my soul. The day I understood God, everything became clear to me, she said. And she wants us to live the same thing, to have a vigilant faith, to believe indeed in this presence of God in us. And she wants us to grow in this love of God, in this awareness of what we are. Not something else, not something to acquire, but simply to be aware of what we are. There's something sacred in any Christian. We are the temples of God. And of course, it is remarkable that she died on the day of the dedication of St. John of Lateran, which is the Mater et Caput Omnium Ecclesiarum, the mother and the head of all churches, the first church of the Catholic Church, the first building which was consecrated to the worship of God in Rome, the first church of the Pope. Blessed Elizabeth is called to be the mother of many souls. Those who invoke her and read what she read, what she wrote, will certainly be led by her, and she will become, to a certain extent, the mother of these souls. Yes, I have found my heaven on earth. God dwells in my soul. Heaven is God, and God dwells in my soul. But this doctrine is not without its asceticism. We have to deny ourselves, to forget ourselves, to forget everything, to be detached from everything, in order to give ourselves wholly to God who dwells in us. Any love will lead to a transformation. You are transformed by the object of your love. And this is true of any love, even an evil love. You are transformed by the object of your love. God dwells in us in order to transform us. It is not a mere fact, a mere static presence. God will be in us as our Lord, His humanity, is in the tabernacle. The tabernacle is not changed. Our Lord doesn't transform the tabernacle. But He is in us, the three persons are in us to transform us. And what are the divine persons? The persons are distinct by being, so to speak, in the look at each other. The Father looks at the Son, and the Son looks at the Father. They are nothing else. It is not by what they are that they are distinct. Because the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God, the same God. They are not distinct by what they are, but they are distinct by being a look. The Father looks at the Son, the Son looks at the Father, the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son. And it is what is going to happen to us, to become a look at God, God alone. Love is meant to transform us, so as to compel us to forget ourselves. Not to think of our own person. Not to look at ourselves. Not to be looking for a particular consolation. No, nothing for us. The one who loves is wholly in the object of his love. To become afraid of the glory of God. Nothing else, and therefore detachment from everything, and in particular detachment from self, self-forgetting. On the 1st of November, she received her last communion, and she said afterwards to the sisters who were there, at the evening of life, everything passes away. At the evening of life, love alone remains. And this is so true. Love alone will remain. Our problems, our worries, our concerns, all of that are going to disappear. The only thing which will remain will be the degree of charity that we will have reached by the end of our life. How much do you love me? The only question God is going to ask. How much do you love me? What depth of love is there in your soul? Everything passes away, love, at evening of life, love alone remains. Therefore, we must do everything by love. We must forget ourselves at all times. The good God so loves us to forget ourselves. Ah, if I had always done so, she said. She will help us to always do so. From now on, at least, to forget ourselves and to be aware of this presence of God in us. We are a little temple, a little church. Every one of us, of course, we have to be the state of grace, but everyone with the state of grace is a little church. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost dwell in us. Let us be aware of the presence of God and forget ourselves. To look at Him, instead of thinking of ourselves, what we have, what we do not have, what we wish we had, instead of being concerned about what happened to us, to look at Him. And if we look at Him, He is going to think of us. He is going to take care of us. Let us be aware of the sons of God, forget ourselves, and one day we'll be able to see what we have. Once more, not to acquire anything. When we die, we are not going to acquire something. Something new. No, nothing. The only thing which will change will be the vision. To be able to see what we have. Heaven is in my soul. Because heaven is God, and God dwells in me. And the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. The Carmelite is a soul who has gathered on the crucified and recollecting herself in the vision of the charity of Christ, the great vision of the charity of Christ, she has wanted to give herself as he did. It's a beautiful definition of the Carmelite. A soul who has gazed on the crucified. Definition of Carmelite, but also definition to the extent of any Christian. What is a Christian? It is someone who has gazed at the crucified, the one who died for us, and recollecting ourselves in the great vision of the charity of Christ. God loves us. This is the fundamental truth of our spiritual life. We are loved by God. Credimus Caritatis, it was the motto of the Archbishop. We have believed in the charity of Christ, the charity of God for us. And we have believed in His love for us because we have a proof. We have a proof of His love. He died for us. He shed His blood. What proof, what greater proof can we ask for? Our Lord died for us. God the Father sent the Son to die for us, to give His life for our redemption. At the end of her life, she called, Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, could hold the crucifix and say, we have loved each other so much. Not only He loved me, not only I have loved Him, but we've loved each other so much. Indeed, our Lord loves us. He loved us when He died on the cross, but He also loves us at every instant of our life, because everything comes from Him. He is the Master. He is God, Almighty. And whatever happens in our life, it comes from Him. Everything is sent by His love. Even the most crucifying trials, they are sent by Him. And beyond our feelings, beyond our little reasonings, we know that it comes from the heart of our God. He has loved me and I have loved Him by letting myself be loved. Let yourself be loved. She said to so many people, in particular to her own prioress at the end of her life. She wrote a little text and she said to her prioress, let yourself be loved. Be, so to speak, passive in front of God. Whatever happens, it comes from Him. It can be difficult to understand, and even impossible to understand for us here on earth, but we know, we believe in the charity of God. Let yourself be loved. Our Lord is not only the proof of the love of God for us, but He is also the one who will lead us to the love of God. He is not only the victim, but He's also the priest of His own sacrifice, and the priest of our sacrifice. Our Lord wants us to be crucified. There's nothing more precious than the cross. Nothing. Our Lord can give us something more precious than His cross. At the end of her life, when she was suffering so much, When she wanted to climb for better, she would say, Christ is the priest of the sacrifice, of my sacrifice. I am the little victim, and is there that he is the altar. The love of God, the love of our Lord, is the priest of this mass that is said with me. What a beautiful thought. My disease, my sufferings, my last sufferings is like a mass. And who said mass? The love of God, the love of our Lord. The love of our Lord is the priest of this mass that he is saying with me. I am the little victim. Our Lord wants to share his cross. The cross of our Lord is not only something that we look at and remember the past event, but it is something which is in our daily life. Our Lord wants to share his cross. He wants us to be crucified and through the cross to be led to love. She had been given the works of St. John of the Cross, and the lady who gave her the book written on the first page this thought that she found so beautiful. Jesus gave us the cross so that the cross may lead us to love. Jesus gave us the cross so that the cross may give us love. Without purification, without the cross, we cannot love. Even before entering Carmel, she understood how beautiful, how necessary sufferings are. Sufferings help us to detach ourselves from everything, even from the consolations of God. As Saint Francis de Sales said, he said, it is so easy to confuse the God of consolations and the consolations of God. But the consolations of God are not God. They are not Him, she said. They are not Him. Sometimes we do feel the presence of God, we do have some type of consolations, and they may come from God, but they come from Him. They are not Him. And we must not look at the hands of God, the hands of our Lord, but look at His face, love Him for His own sake. And it is what He wants. The purification, the sufferings lead us to love. And not only to God, not only to our own purification, our own holiness, but also to share the cross of our Lord, it is to be associated with the mystery of redemption. It was a thought which helped her so much at the end of her life. When she was suffering so much, to think that she was doing something for the church, doing something for souls, that our Lord Himself was able to suffer through her and to redeem souls. Our Lord is the only Redeemer, and yet He wants to redeem through us. By us, and we need to be, He wants us to be another humanity, given to Him, that He may be able here and now, still, to suffer for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. We have to make up for what is lacking in the suffering of our Lord, says St. Paul. There's something which is missing in the suffering of our Lord. Not absolutely, of course, but in as much as He wants us to cooperate and participate in the mystery of redemption. Yes, souls are saved through our suffering, through our cross. If we carry the cross, if we let ourselves be loved, if we accept all our trials, all our sufferings, if we embrace the cross as it is given by our Lord, without looking for extraordinary penances, but simply embracing our life, our cross as it is, if we let ourselves be loved, we are going to redeem souls. We are going with our Lord and by our Lord, we are going to be souls to heaven. We do something for the church. And what is the outcome, the ultimate outcome of this participation in the cross of our Lord? It is a transformation. To be transformed in our Lord. We become one with Him. Christ lives in me, says the Lord. For me to live is Christ. It is Christ who renews all His mysteries to us. And we possess the mysteries of our Lord. It's what we do at Mass. When we do at Mass, we offer the blood of our Lord. How can we offer the blood of our Lord if this blood is not ours? He belongs to us. He gave Himself as a victim. And we own the blood of our Lord, the merit of our Lord, the satisfaction of our Lord. I feel that all the treasures enclosed in His soul are mine, said Blessed Elizabeth. And I feel so rich. What a wealth of merit. We are overwhelmed by the merits of our Lord. We have them and we can offer them. And in particular, we can offer the prayer of our Lord. The prayer of our Lord, she said, belongs to me. It is my prayer. I belong to Him and He belongs to me. His prayer is my prayer. And this is the true Christian prayer. It's what we do at Mass all the time. Perdonem nos communes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we pray by ourselves? Do we pray on the side of our Lord, with our Lord at a distance? Not at all. It's a communion. We enter the soul of our Lord. Let us go to the Father, she said also, let us go to the Father in the movement of His soul, to enter the prayer of our Lord, and to listen to what is sung in His soul, and to unite ourselves to the prayer of our Lord. Transformation in our Lord, and finally transformation in the Word of God Himself. That is to say, transformation in our Lord, both God and man, to be crucified with Him, accepting the will of God in our life, but even more, union to the Word of God incarnate, God and man, union to the divine persons, as we said yesterday. We are called to become a look, to become so pure, so transformed in God, for us to be able to know God and love Him as He knows and loves Himself. And this is, of course, the ultimate purpose of everything. Why did He come and die on the cross? Why did He give us the sacraments? To be united with Him in His divinity. Not only in His humanity, but His divinity. Why do we receive communion? To have our Lord for 5 minutes or 10 minutes in us? Of course, not only that. Not only the humanity of our Lord, body and soul, in us for 10 minutes, but to remain in Him forever, always, in this life and in the eternal life, to remain in Him and He in us, to be united to the divine persons, and to love them as we are loved by them. Yes, we are loved by the divine love, and we are going to love God by this same divine love. The model, of course, in this union to our Lord is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity would call her Yanua Shevi, the Gate of Heaven, which is, of course, one of the invocation of the litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Yanua Shevi, Gate of Heaven. She is the one who leads us and makes us enter the mystery of God. We would mistake her for light. We would think that she is the light, she said. She is so bright, so pure, so holy, so much united to her Son. The heart of Our Lady is so close, enclosed, in the heart of our Lord, that she could be mistaken. And we could think that she is the light. But she is not. She is the Gate of Heaven. She is our Mother. And by uniting ourselves to her, we'll be united to our Lord, and being united to our Lord, we'll be plunged in the mystery of the Trinity. In the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The order of Mount Carmel, can be said to be the order of our religion. Of course, the Mother of God belongs to all religious orders and to all Christians. And it is very true that our Lord wanted his order to honor his Mother. The order of Mount Carmel was instituted for this very purpose, to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is said in a very ancient custom book of the order that those who belong to the order of Mount Carmel must honor Our Lady with a special devotion, and this is their primary and principal obligation. A Carmelite, as Carmelite, must honor Our Lady with a special devotion. I shed tears of devotion, of joy, at the thought that this creature, all serene, all beautiful, all luminous, is my Mother. I shed tears of joy, and as a child, I rejoice in the beauty of my Mother. This is what Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity said about Our Lady. She had a deep devotion to Our Lady. Tears of joy at the thought that my Mother is so beautiful, so full of light. We could mistake her for the light. She is not the light, and yet it seems that she is the light. She is so beautiful. Her devotion to Our Lady was very simple, very discreet. There is nothing ostentatious. It is like this statue that she would carry about with her during her last visit. When she was very sick, she was hardly able to walk, and she would carry with her this little statue of Our Lady. She was always there, and yet, once more, very discreet. None of the writings of Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity are dedicated to Our Lady. She is not a theme of one of her retreats that she wrote. And yet she is always there. And she would speak of her. All of a sudden, you read a beautiful text on the Trinity, on Our Lord, and all of a sudden there is a meditation on Our Lady. She is always there. She is the Mother of God. And why was this devotion so discreet, profound, and discreet? Because Our Lady is not only an object of devotion. She is not only someone that we love, but she is a model. She is a Mother. She is going to lead us through our Lord, and through our Lord to the Trinity. Our Lady is not only an object of devotion, but she is a model. Our Lady is a model of contemplative souls. She kept in her heart whatever was said about our Lord. She had a particular devotion to Our Lady of the Annunciation, Our Lady of the Incarnation. Our Lady who became the Mother of God at this very instant when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her and when she became the Mother of God. In what silence, what recollection she must have buried herself in the depth of her soul to embrace this God who was her Son. This God whose Mother she was. What the depth of contemplation. And she was alone, alone to be alone, alone to be the Mother of God, alone to know that she had in herself developed daughter, developed by the And she had this devotion, Blessed in the Repertory, she had devotion to our idea of incarnation, a model of contemplative souls. We also, we carry God within ourselves. We also, we have been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost on the day of our baptism. And we also, we became the temples of God. We also, we must, we have the same duty to worship, to adore God, really present in us. The Trinity is really present in the depth of souls. And our people also for her, not only the model of contemplative souls, but she was, as we said yesterday, the gate of heaven, the unworshipped. The one was willing to lead her into the eternal beatitude. We are pilgrims, we are not meant to stay here on earth. Our real home is heaven, and therefore we know that our Lady is going to be there. Being the Mother of God, being our Mother, she will be, so to speak, on the threshold of heaven, waiting for us, and she is going to usher us into the bosom of the Trinity. And before this solemn intent, when we die and we encounter God Himself, and we are judged by our Lord, and we are led by our Lady into heaven, before this solemn intent, our Lady is also the Yad Vashem, the gate of heaven, inasmuch as she is the one who is going to lead us to our Lord. Our heaven today, it is the soul of our Lord. Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity who said that she wanted to make a retreat in the soul of our Lord. That is to say, having the sentiment of our Lord, sentiment of meekness and humility, to be like our Lord. And Our Lady alone is able to tell us what our Lord is. She alone is able to catch, to speak, the candlestick that is sung in the heart of our Lord, because she is a mother. And it is through her and by her that we are going to hear what is sung in the soul of our Lord, and being able to sing with our Lord. In particular, it's the last canticle, the one that our Lord sang in his heart when he was on the cross, when he offered himself to his Father. And this is what we are doing when we attend Mass. When we attend Mass, we are here at the foot of the cross, and our Lord offers himself to his Father. And Our Lady is close to us. She was at the foot of the cross, and she is there every time we attend Mass. And she is the Yad Vashem. Our heaven on earth, it is the heart of our Lord. It is our Lord who offers himself to his Father. And we enter this heaven, this heart of our Lord, through Our Lady. It is by having a special devotion to Our Lady that we learn how to attend Mass. She knew what was happening. When she was at the foot of the cross, nobody understood, but she did. And she was so united to our Lord. And in the same way today, it is by this union to Our Lady that we are going to be able to know what Mass is, what is the sacrifice of the cross. Our Lady, yes, is our mother, our mother. And we have a special devotion to her. We love her more than any other creature. She alone is able to lead us to God. And we want to see through her and by her, we want to see our Lord. And she's so pure, so she's the Immaculate Conception. She's so pure that she will certainly lead us to our Lord. Let's have this great devotion to Our Lady, and one day we know that she will be the Yad Vashem, the gate of heaven. Today we adore God hidden in us. We believe in this presence of God, in us. We do not see it yet, but one day we are going to see. We are going to see the gate of heaven. We are going to see our lady, and she will lead us in the bosom of the Trinity.